friends. It is March 20th, 2022. This is CPR. And I'm your host, Critch. I'm not sure if you guys ever saw that clip of the snow DJ, but that is the music that he's rocking out to. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, it's this guy. It's at a, he's on a deck, obviously, at a ski hill. And he draws a turntable out of snow on a picnic table. And he starts just going nuts. And the crowd gets into it. And this is the song that's playing in the background. So, of course, I had to find out what it was and bring it to a show opener. All right, my friends. We got a couple of articles to go through. And then what we're going to do is we're actually going to turn a CPR podcast over to Bill Cooper. Yeah, he's going to be speaking to us from the grave. Now, if you don't know who William Cooper is, my friends, he is the author of Behold the Pale Horse. And it is a must read for anybody in the truth movement. It is probably one of the biggest truth bombs I myself have ever read in my entire life. And unbeknownst to me, until a good buddy of mine, Maverick, pointed it out, it turns out that William Cooper was actually doing audio broadcasts, and they are still extremely relevant. He talks about everything to all the secret societies that are behind the scenes, to space programs that are all fake, to fake alien invasions. And then he gets into the episode we're going to cover, which is extremely long. It's going to eat up the whole show. We're going to run a little bit over the hour on this one, too, just because there's some current events that we've got to cover. But he gets into plans for vaccines and stuff, and how they're going to roll out their total fascist dictatorship throughout the world, and what they're going to, how they're going to do it, and so on and so forth. And he recorded these in 1998, and they're still bang on today. It's unreal. There's some details that he misses because, you know, 98, well, he the Twin Towers hadn't fallen yet. That kind of stuff hadn't gone down. But he's still, and Saddam Hussein was still alive. I must note that. He talks about Saddam Hussein quite a bit. And, you know, he figured that they'd just keep him alive and he would be the continual Middle Eastern boogeyman, but such is not the case. What I want to do first, my friends, is I want to cover the fact that the fascists that masquerade as liberals in this country have rolled back their gun buyback amnesty. Now, there's lots of reasons that they're coming up with for it, but you and I both know it's because no one turned them in. You know, they were, the due date was what, April something, I can't remember, April 12th maybe, for some reason that's ringing a bell, but that's when it was supposed to be, of this year, for all of us that have these scary military style assault weapons, which you can't even buy in Canada, so it's funny that they're using that rhetoric. We haven't been able to buy any military style assault weapons in Canada, I think, since the early 70s, so for them to even use that rhetoric just shows how stupid they all really are. But anyway, that didn't prevent them from going ahead and banning any weapon that they deem as a threat to themselves, realistically, is what it is, including AR-15s and stuff like that, which is kind of silly because most of them are 223s. They're vermin rifles, really. But they look scary, so they went ahead and banned them. And you know damn well they're just going to keep coming and coming and coming when it comes to guns. This is a globalist agenda to disarm the population of the entire world. And then, you know, through history, what have we seen, friends, when they disarm populations? How has that gone for any population that has been completely disarmed? It usually ends in democide, which is, you know, government genocide. Like, that is actually the route it goes every single time a government disarms its population. Yeah. Anyway, this article comes to us by way of True North, and the title reads, "Liberals admit their military-style gun ban includes hunting and sporting rifles." This was written by Cosmin Dezerza on March 17th, 2022. The Trudeau government has finally confessed that its now delayed gun ban and so-called military-style assault weapons also applies to hunting and sporting rifles. According to Blacklock's reporter, the Trudeau government's 2020 firearm prohibition was so sweeping that the sustenance and hunting firearms were also included. An analysis statement to Cabinet acknowledged this aspect of the ban, despite prior insistence that it only applied to guns designed to kill people. Concerns that the amnesty order did not allow for the transportation of firearms that were previously non-restricted and used for sustenance hunting or to exercise a right under Section 35 of the Constitution Act for maintenance purposes. For example, for repair or sighting in preparation for hunting, the notice claimed. When announcing the order in 2020, Minister of Emergency Preparedness Bill Blair said it would outlaw guns that had no place in a civil society. They were designed not for hunting or sporting purposes, which is the lawful use of a firearm in Canada, but rather for individuals to kill other individuals, claimed Blair. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau evaded debate in the House of Commons when announcing the ban on 1,500 different kinds of guns by using an order in council. Law-abiding gun owners had until April 30th of this year to surrender their guns to police for a buyback scheme that would have cost taxpayers an estimated $8.8 million. Complete undershot. Anybody that has an AR-15 knows their totals. They were basically offering $800 a gun. Well, I'm sorry, my friends. Most of the ARs that people have in Canada are well over two, sometimes up in the 3-4 mark. Now, most of us that have these trick them right the fuck out, too. So if the Liberals came to me and offered me $800 for my gun, I would laugh in their face. I'd say, not on your life. It's not happening. Not that I was ever going to turn it in anyway, along with the rest of you. However, Blair announced this week that the buyback date has been extended until October 30th, 2023. Now, we know because no one's turned them in. It's the same as New Zealand. Nobody turned them in New Zealand. From the last count that I seen when they did a gun ban in New Zealand, it was 63 guns total that people turned in. And from what it sounds like, it was all just junk guns. They didn't turn in anything. They just used it to get rid of the guns they didn't want. Oh boy. In order to further time to come into compliance with the law, the amended amnesty order extends the expiry date, ministerial staff wrote in a regulatory impact analysis statement. After the Liberals announced the order, Conservatives accused the federal government of misleading Canadians. You and I both know there is no such thing as military assault weapons in this country. They have been banned for 40 years, says Conservative MP Glenn Motes in 2020. To misguide and mislead Canadians is disingenuous on your part. We are not misleading anyone, Blair replied. Additionally, Conservative MP Blaine Cawkin stated the ban was so wide that it applied to historical and heritage pieces such as Vancouver's 9 o'clock gun. Every cannon in Canada, every heritage piece that might be in a museum, every heritage piece that might be in a collection is now a prohibited firearm, says Cawkin. So... we know that these people, you know, this supposedly this list came from the RCMP, and they went as far as to ban airsoft guns. So how well versed are our RCMP when it comes to firearms? Because obviously it's the blind leading the blind here. You've got like historical pieces, as the Vancouver's 9 o'clock gun being banned. Why? It's not like I'm going to be running through the woods with a fucking cannon shooting at deer. Or at people, like they claim that all these weapons are designed only to kill people. Well, when was the last time you had a cannon and were firing it down the road at your neighbor? Oh, they're so dumb. They're so stupid. Anyway, my friends, like I said, we got a couple articles to cover real quick, and then we're gonna let William Cooper take this episode for us. So we'll be right back. Welcome, friends, to Canadian Patriot Radio, where conspiracy is not theory and political corruption finds the spotlight. At CPR, we are committed to upholding Canadians' God-given rights to life, liberty, and freedom with all thy sons. Command. All right, welcome back, my friends. What I want to do next is I want to turn your attention over to a National Telegraph article that is titled "FinTrack Destroys Liberals' Narrative, Convoy Funding, Not Terrorism or Money Laundering." This was written by Daniel Boardman, and it doesn't give me a date anywhere that I can see, which is odd. Anyway, let's carry on. The great lie around the invocation of the Emergency Act was totally shattered in testimony before the House of Commons Finance Committee. Barry McKillop, Deputy Director of FinTrack, Canada's finance monitoring agency, testified under oath that financial support for the Freedom Convoy 2022 organization came from everyday Canadians fed up with COVID restrictions and was not terrorism or money laundering. McKillop at one point stated on the issue of non-Canadians funding the convoy that there were people around the world who were fed up with COVID and were upset and saw the demonstration, and I believe they just wanted to support the cause. This means that FinTrack had seen no evidence that foreign interests were providing support to the Freedom Convoy, which the media had been trying to imply was the case over the past several weeks. Although this might have seemed self-evident from the onset, this was actually the justification the government used to invoke the Emergencies Act. It should also be noted that during this period, Trudeau and Freeland collaborated with the banks to seize the assets of peaceful protesters without a court warrant or any charges being laid. Police also had the ability to perform arbitrary arrests. The Emergencies Act was rescinded 2 days after it passed the House of Commons, likely due to its heavy unpopularity politically and the fact that Canadians lost faith in the banks as a secure place to hold their money, leading to a bank run costing the major banks in the stock market. Even though all the underlying arguments against the Freedom Convoy and in favor of the emergency powers have been thoroughly debunked, the Liberal government is still pushing to expand its financial power into its everyday arsenal. This is why many, including the Canadian Civil Liberties Association, considered the invocation of the Emergencies Act to be dangerous long-term due to its normalization of government overreach. Well, no kidding. And I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but I'm pretty sure it was the international banking community that reached out to Chrystia Freeland and told her, you need to back off, because this is the plan all along. We are planning to have the ability to seize people's accounts, to not let them renew their driver's licenses, to not participate in any way in society through the digital ID program. So you can't give them a glimpse into that window by overstepping and bringing this in before we're ready. That's basically what happened. And then they pulled it back. The Emergencies Act. Because they got their pee-pee slapped by basically the IMF. The International Monetary Fund. Saying, whoa, don't start showing what we're going to be doing here in probably a year or two's time, if that. So, interesting to say the least. So they didn't have the evidence that they claimed to have, and they went ahead and passed the Emergencies Act anyway. Will anybody hold them accountable? This would be where the opposition, typically the opposition would step up, and they would actually instigate an investigation into the government's, evidence. And if there was no evidence, then there should be charges laid. Do you think the opposition of this country was going to do that? Hell no. They're just playing their role. All of them. And now let's focus on... Now, I'm sure a lot of you are aware that during the so-called war in Ukraine, Ukraine is the first country now to go to a digital ID system. So tell me how bad this war is when you still have apparently your government working behind the scenes to institute a digital ID, impose it on all your people while they're all fleeing for their lives, supposedly. Now, I'm not sure if you guys have seen the footage. There's a guy that just basically went to Ukraine to see all what was going on. And when it comes to the people fleeing, it's all staged. They've got all these train stations, all the entrances to the train stations blocked, except for two. And they're funneling people through just two doors to a massive train station. And they're just staging it that everybody's fleeing. And then he gets like half an hour away from the city that was in, and everything's back to normal. So I'm not saying that there's not a war, but I'm just saying they're creating way more of a spectacle than it really is. Now, where have we seen that before? We saw them do that with COVID, with all their COVID camps and all this stuff, and that they basically had to shut down. But the World Economic Forum just did a news release that is, it's not just, but it's tying right into what's happening now. And the title reads, World Economic Forum Consortium Launches Paperless Canada Netherlands Travel Pilot. I just want to give you some of the bullet points here of what they're doing here. So the World Economic Forum, in collaboration with the Government of Canada, the Netherlands, and industry partners, launched the first ever passport-free pilot project between two countries. The Known Traveler Digital Identity, KTDI, initiative addressing rising aviation travel demand, expected to grow to 1.8 billion passengers by 2030. The KTDI pilot offers greater control over personal information, putting passengers in charge of when and how data is shared through a travel-managed digital identity. Montreal, Canada, 26th of June, 2019. The World Economic Forum and the governments of the Netherlands and Canada launched the first pilot project for paperless travel between the two countries today at Montreal Airport. Known Traveler Digital ID, KTDI, is the first platform to use traveler-managed digital identity for international paperless travel. That date is rather important, wouldn't you say, my friends? The 26th of June, 2019 is when they did that, is when they started rolling this out. Very interesting. Prior to COVID. Okay. It will be integrated with partner systems and tested internationally throughout 2019, with the first end-to-end paperless journey expected to take place in early 2020. The pilot initiative is a collaboration between government and industry, border authorities, airports, technology providers, and airlines to create an interoperable system for secure and seamless travel. By 2030, international air travel is expected to rise 1.8 billion passengers, up from 50% in 2016. With current systems, airports cannot keep up. What? Why not? Why can't they keep up? Christopher Wolf says this, head of Mobility, World Economic Forum. This project offers a solution. By using interoperable digital identities, passengers benefit from a holistic system for secure and seamless travel. It will shape the future of aviation and security. KTDI provides a frictionless travel experience for passengers while allowing them to have greater control over their personal data. The identity data that is usually stored on a chip on the passenger's passport is instead securely stored and encrypted in their mobile device. Passengers can manage their identity data and consent to share it with border authorities, airlines, and other pilot partners in advance. Using biometrics, the data is checked at every leg of the journey until arrival at the destination, without the need for a physical passport. Passengers establish a known traveler status over time through the accumulation of attestations or claims that are proven and declared by trusted partners, such as border agencies and recognized airlines. The result is a reusable digital identity that facilitates a more streamlined and tailored interaction with governments, airlines, and other partners. Canada is pleased to collaborate with the World Economic Forum and the government of Netherlands and our industry partners to enhance aviation security and make international air travel safer by testing new emerging technologies, says Honorable Mark Garneau, Canada's Minister of Transport. The Known Traveler Digital Identity Pilot Project will help facilitate seamless global air travel and benefit the world economy by enhancing the traveler experience while ensuring that cross-border security is maintained. This KTDI pilot project is a perfect example of the importance of public-private partnership in implementing innovations in the aviation sector and border management, and I am honored that we are engaging in this pilot from the Netherlands, says Anne Brokers-Knoll, Minister for Migration from the Netherlands. The governments of Canada and the Netherlands are joined by Air Canada, KLM, Royal Dutch Airlines, Yule Montreal, Trudeau International Airport, Toronto Pearson's International Airport, and Amsterdam Airport Schiphol. This pilot group is supported by technology and advisory partner Accenture with Vision Box and IDEMIA as technology component service providers. KTDI is based on a interoperable digital identity linked directly to government-issued identity documents, e-passports. It uses cryptography, distributed ledger technology, and biometrics to ensure portability and to safeguard the privacy of personal data. The system's security relies on a decentralized ledger platform that all partners can access. This ledger provides an accurate, tamper-proof record of each traveler's identity data and authorized transactions. Oh, man. If you can't read between the lines on this stuff, it's absolutely phenomenal. So since 2019, they've already been implementing digital ID for travel. So they've got to have it, you know, it's 2022. So by now, they've got to have it pretty much perfected. Well, we know that they're getting closer because you had to have a vaccine passport to fly anywhere out of Canada. So, but the funny part is that they were doing this before. They were doing this before COVID. They already had this planned. So, is that any surprise to you? Is it any surprise to me? Not really. You know, this is the way they're going, that they're going to force the entire world into a digital ID and try to just try to go completely nuts with control is what they're going to do. But let them try, I guess. They're probably going to get it. You know, who's going to stop them? Unorganized militias in countries that really at this point aren't even they're a concept, but they're not really organized enough to stop anything when they start going full on fascist, which they already are in Canada. And, you know, the bulk majority of Canadians just seem to be on board with it. Well, they're actually completely distracted by the so-called war in Ukraine. Oh, boy. All right, my friends. What I want to do next is I want to turn this podcast over to William Cooper. He's going to be speaking to us from the grave, which is kind of cool. For those of you that are unaware of William Cooper's history, he was Navy intelligence. He was in the Air Force first, and then he was in Navy intelligence, and he had a Q clearance, which is the highest clearance, a top secret Q clearance, which is the highest clearance that you can possibly get in military intelligence, in government, and everything. He had access to everything. He was on the Admiral's briefing. He was on the Admiral's briefing committee, so he had access to crazy amounts of information, and I believe he was in this role for 12 years. And he gets into some of the details in, you know, I almost want to say that Bill Cooper was podcasting before podcasting was around or even cool, because nobody else did this, especially someone speaking out like this. Nobody else did this. So to find these, I got to throw a huge shout out to Maverick for sending these my way. they're really cool. Really cool, to say the least. But, where was I going? He had a top secret Q clearance, so he got to see everything. He even tells you how he got that Q clearance. Like, he shouldn't have got it. Or not that he shouldn't have got it, but he knows exactly how he did get it. So he belonged to a committee when he was a young man that was kind of a lead into Freemasonry. He wasn't a Freemason, but it was like the adolescent. I guess apparently there's a group in the U.S. that I guess, for lack of better terms, coaches young adults, young males, for Freemasonry. And he was actually in that. He wasn't in the Freemasons, but there was no option for it. So when the questionnaire for his clearance was going into the secret societies, like he said it was like a big pullout page, like a computer page of all the secret societies listed, and you were supposed to check off every single one. Well, the fact that the one that he belonged to wasn't on there, he checked off Freemasonry. And that's how he figured, he figures when looking back, that's how he got his top secret Q clearance. Which, to those of you that are unaware, Q clearance is just basically the top of the top. That gives you access to pretty much everything, even compartmentalized information. You can see it all. And so through his time as a military or a Navy intelligence officer, he started piecing together a very big and broad puzzle. And for those of you that have read the book, I know I'm just repeating stuff you already know, but there's a lot of people that still haven't. And what he actually did was Behold the Pale Horse is a collection of information that he basically stole from the government and published it. Like, it's one of the worst written books I've ever read. I hate to be that guy. Like, he's just not a good writer. But what he does is he just gives you like segues from one top secret operation to the next. To the next. He got his hands on so many. It's phenomenal. So anyway, through these podcasts, I almost want to call them podcasts, but these broadcasts that he was doing, he gives you his whole background, all that stuff, like he does in the book. But it's just extremely cool to have him talk to all of us from beyond the grave. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to shut up. And I'm going to turn the podcast over to William Cooper and let you guys hear what he's got to say.
You're listening to a live broadcast of the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are going to cover the plan for world domination by the adepts of the hidden mystery religion, which is called Mystery Babylon. It is an ancient body of adepts of the highest degrees of all of the so-called fraternal orders and secret societies. They have been attempting over many hundreds of years to complete what they call the Great Work. And ladies and gentlemen, we're in the last days of their bringing to fruition the culmination of all of their machinations and intrigue and subterfuge and subversion over all of those years. The name of the plan, as I saw it when I was a member of the Office of Naval Intelligence and specifically a member of the intelligence briefing team of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Pacific Fleet, is Majesty 12. No separation between the two words. In other words, written as if it's all one word, in all capital letters. So don't go away. Make sure you have pen and paper by your side. And pay very close attention. Well, as we have done the day before, yesterday, I'm going to back up a little bit and repeat some of what you heard yesterday so that there is no misunderstanding. And just in case somebody new is tuning in, they won't get all of it because they've missed. They've missed the first 2 hours of this expose, but they will at least understand the topic of conversation today. In other words, we're not going to come right in the middle of something, ladies and gentlemen. If I sounded a little remote at the beginning of this broadcast, it's because the equipment here was not operating properly, and I was attempting to talk to you while half of my attention was trying to make sure that the equipment is operating correctly. So that's why I may have sounded a little distant in the beginning of this broadcast. Folks, make sure you have pen and paper. You're going to want to remember some of this. Many of you are probably so angry by now, you're certainly going to want to check up on all of it and prove me wrong, and I certainly encourage you to do that. And if anyone can prove me wrong on any of the information that I have given you over this broadcast, then I want to know about it, because I certainly want to check your proof, and I don't expect you to just call me and rail on me and say that I'm wrong. If you furnish me with proof and you're polite and responsible, I will certainly check out what you tell me or what you show me. And if you turn out to be right, folks, I will come on the air and will correct whatever mistake I have made. Nothing that I am giving you is intended to mislead you. None of it is disinformation or false, according to all of the research that I've done and the documentation that I have and what I saw while a member of the Office of Naval Intelligence many years ago, and specifically as a member of the intelligence briefing team of the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Pacific Fleet. Everything that I'm telling you is absolutely true, correct, is documented and sourced, is the product of not only what I saw in the Navy, but many, many years of research, not only by me, but the members of all of the organizations which I head, and other prominent researchers throughout the country and even the world. So this doesn't just come from me, ladies and gentlemen. It comes from many people. Many of us duplicate the research in order to make sure that we are correct. And you had better take heed, folks, because an awful lot of work, many years, a lot of risk and exposure to danger and hurt, terrible hurt, is the result of the information that we have discovered. Some of us have been attacked, beaten. Some of us have been killed. Some of us have been terribly slandered and libeled in order to keep the public from learning what I have been delivering to you over the last 2 days and will continue in this broadcast today. Most of you have no conception of what the reality of the world on a political and social and economic level really is. You're wrapped up in your families and in your work, and you think that that's all that you need to do because you've elected somebody that you trust and you've sent them off to represent you. And they will never do you wrong. And it can't happen here in the United States of America. But folks, you're wrong, and that's exactly why it is happening here, because whether you want to admit it or not, or whether you like it or not, you have abdicated your responsibility as the watchdog, as the sovereign citizen in this country. And so those who can be corrupted have been corrupted. Those who would not be corrupted have been framed, have been libeled, have been slandered, have been shunted to the side, shifted out of government over the years. This may shock you, ladies and gentlemen, but it is the truth. Listen to me very carefully. A one-world socialist government is the stated and avowed policy of the United States government. The United Nations didn't spring up out of some bubbling pool of goo back in some swamp somewhere. The United States created the United Nations. And if you don't believe that, you get into your history books and you'll find out that it's absolutely true. And the members of the United States government that we sent to create the United Nations and participate in the writing of the United Nations Charter later were arrested, tried, convicted, and were sent to prison as members of a subversive group of spies acting on behalf of the Soviet Union, members of the Communist Party, the most prominent, two of which were Mr. Chambers and Mr. Alger Hiss. The United States State Department wrote the policy in the document known as State Department Publication 7277, which, for those of you who have not seen it, includes an introduction by President Truman, who was a 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite, which admits the United States government's world government policy. State Department Publication 7277 further outlines the merger of the military of the United States with the military of the Eastern Bloc nations, what used to be known as the Warsaw Pact or the Soviet Union, as a world peacekeeping force under the United Nations as the ultimate goal of the foreign policy of the United States of America. NATO, that's the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, is a part of the United Nations. It is not a separate force, and it is not a force of the United States of America. NATO is a part of the United Nations and was created under its auspices according to the United Nations Charter and at the approval of the United Nations Security Council. It's all in the treaty, ladies and gentlemen, which you have never read. The Warsaw Pact was also a part of the United Nations and was also created under its auspices according to the United Nations Charter. The Cold War was a scam perpetrated between two military organizations, NATO and the Warsaw Pact, in order to create a diversion, an illusion, if you will. You see, they both belong to the same organization, the United Nations. They were both overseen, run by, and ruled by the United Nations and the United Nations Security Council. There was never any danger of war between the United States of America and the Soviet Union. The Cold War, in fact, was a scam which allowed both governments to levy large taxes which were used to develop the technology and experiment with techniques which will be combined to control the population of the world. The inclusion of Warsaw Pact nations as new members of NATO today, now, as I speak, is the initial stage of Phase 2 of the merger of forces outlined in State Department Publication 7277. And the purpose, the real purpose, for the illusion of the fall of the Soviet Union was so this could be brought about and so that the West could be deceived into disarming. President Kennedy presented the plan to disarm the nations and people of the world to the United Nations. The United States planted the seed of a European Union, nurtured that idea, and has supported its formation. When the leader of the USSR banged his shoe on his desk at the United Nations and screamed, quote, "We do not have to invade the United States. We will destroy you from within," end quote, he was absolutely correct. Those of you alive at the time who were watching television and reading your newspapers and paying attention know that that was Nikita Khrushchev who made that statement and banged his shoe on that desk. The progression of accomplishments toward the completion of the plan to implement one-world socialist totalitarian government is guided and controlled by the hierarchy of the Illuminati in the groups known as the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, the Round Table Group, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, and many others, including the Illuminati Adepts in Government and Industry, who are members of the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree of the Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry of the Southern and Northern Jurisdiction, the Supreme Council of the York Rite of Freemasonry, International Zionism, B'nai B'rith, the Grand Lodge of France, the Grand Lodge of England, the Order of the Golden Dawn, the Ordo Templi Orientalis, the Rosi Cruci, the Sovereign and Military Order of the Knights of Malta, the Knights Templar, the Jason Society, the Vatican, and many others too numerous to list. And if you want to see a list of all of these secret organizations, which will literally blow your mind, and you can go directly to their sites on the internet and read their own teachings and writings and philosophy and goals and everything else, go to our webpage, which is harvest-trust.org. That's harvest-trust.org. You don't need www. It's just http://harvest-trust.org. click on the occult link on our homepage, and when you're finished there, click on the secret societies link in the occult page, and you will see that these organizations are so numerous, it will absolutely amaze you, especially those of you who have always thought that these secret societies were some kind of popular myth, and they don't really exist, and they don't really do these things. Well, folks, most of them admit it in their own words, and you can read it yourself, so just do that. There are other links on our homepage and on our website that you will also be interested in. The American public is being bombarded with propaganda to enable them to accept the New World Order, give up their Constitution and their Bill of Rights and their heritage as Americans, and become citizen slaves in this New World socialist utopian state. These propaganda attacks become obvious with people like Mr. Leavitt and Mr. Harris are arrested and falsely charged by the Gestapo murderers who orchestrated the World Trade Center, the Waco massacre, the Ruby Ridge murder of Vicki Weaver by an FBI sniper, the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, of the Federal Bureau of Investigation with planning an anthrax attack. This is recent, and this is why I cite it, so that you can see how your minds are screwed around by these people. The Marxist press immediately mounted a vicious campaign of lies against these two men. They were accused of being white supremacist militia members who were followers of Christian Identity, who planned to launch an anthrax attack upon New York City. Well, folks, that was impossible because Mr. Leavitt is Jewish. And he's not any of those things. And Mr. Harris is not any of those things either. The truth is that they were attempting to manufacture a vaccine which could be used to protect the general population from just such an attack. The fact is that the so-called deadly biological anthrax weapon which they were supposed to have was the very vaccine which they had developed in order to protect the public from the biological attacks which we know will eventually come. Mr. Harris is a microbiologist. This is not the first time that they have tried to put him in prison on false charges, ladies and gentlemen. They don't want us to have protection against what they also know is coming. Now, why do they do this when ultimately they have to admit the truth? It's because most people are not people at all, ladies and gentlemen. They've never had an original thought in their life, and they don't think. They listen and believe whatever they are told because they have been indoctrinated to behave in that manner. So when it was eventually announced that these men had to be released because what they were carrying was in fact not a deadly anthrax germ that and not that they were going to kill people with it, but that it was a harmless vaccine. When they finally had to admit that, ladies and gentlemen, nobody listened to that. The only thing that most of the sheeple in this country and around the world will remember is that two men were arrested in Las Vegas with a deadly anthrax germ, a biological weapon, with which they were going to attack and kill hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of people. It was all a lie, and this happens all the time, ladies and gentlemen. Do you remember the attack upon the patriots, the people who love this country and would be willing to give their life in defense of the Constitution for the United States of America? And have always been the ones who have fought and died for freedom and for this country throughout the history of the United States of America. Do you remember that right after the Oklahoma City bombing, remember the vicious Marxist press attacks against these people and against the lawful and constitutionally organized militia in this nation, which have been a part of this nation, which are spelled out in the law, which have fought most of the battles of this nation throughout the history of the United States of America, were responsible for freeing the slaves in the Civil War, were the ones who fought the revolution to create the United States of America, Do you know why these people are being attacked, ladies and gentlemen? Even though eventually the Federal Bureau of Investigation admitted in a press conference that patriots and militia members were not involved in the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, most of you still think that they were. And the press still tries to hammer that in, to make you believe it. Just last Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, on CNN, they did a special, ladies and gentlemen, about a man in Utah who would not stop for a police officer, a man who has a long history of being a Nazi, a real Nazi, and of making statements that he would love to kill the FBI and all kinds of other things. They did a special on him, and they left you with the impression that he is a patriot militia member. American patriots are not Nazis, ladies and gentlemen. American patriots do not act like this man does. This was intentional propaganda. He is not a part of any militia in this country. And I can tell you that with absolute certainty because I am one of the top leaders of the militia in this country. In fact, I am the director of the intelligence service of the Second Continental Army of the Republic Militia. The Marxist press and the communist news networks are constantly bombarding the American people with lies and propaganda in order to demonize real Americans, to demonize American patriots, to demonize the American militia, so that you're all eventually afraid to support the causes and the principles and ideals that you were taught to support as a child growing up, that you know is the right thing to do, but now has become politically incorrect. Why? Because the United States of America is scheduled to disappear into one of the 10 regions of the New World Order. The Constitution will become a dim memory in the minds of all of us. And the new history books will make no mention of liberty or freedom. Our constitutions, our bills of rights, our creators, even the word God will disappear. Politicians, ladies and gentlemen, are controlled through the accumulation of dossiers by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, by the way, which has absolutely no constitutional foundation or authorization for its existence. The Internal Revenue Service, which is a legal fiction, which does not exist as an agency of the United States government or as an agency of the Department of the Treasury. If you don't believe me, check the United States Code for the organization of the Department of the Treasury or the organization of the entire United States government. You will not find the Internal Revenue Service listed anywhere as a part of any organization of the United States government or as an agency of the United States government. The Central Intelligence Agency, the Mossad, MI6, which is British Foreign Intelligence, the Anti-Defamation League of the secret society known as B'nai B'rith, the KGB, and other Illuminati-controlled organizations. These dossiers are used to blackmail these politicians into towing the line. Those who do not have incidents in their past that allow control by blackmail are put in positions by one or more of the above organizations that know how to manipulate human nature better than you can possibly even imagine. And it results in one or more incidents which will allow control by blackmail of these people. If they step out of line even once, something is handed to the press or brought out on the news that causes that person tremendous embarrassment and could, and sometimes does, result in the end of their political career. The Las Vegas brothel run by Robert Lazar, was found to have video cameras throughout and was used for the collection of information with which to blackmail politicians, military personnel, and anyone else who needed to be controlled by the Illuminati. Anyone who will not play by the Illuminati rules are weeded out and quickly disappear from politics. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, that it was 33rd degree Freemason Franklin Delano Roosevelt who created the Federal Bureau of Investigation, instituted the first run of socialism in this country. The FBI was run by 33rd degree Freemason J. Edgar Hoover. The FBI and the Internal Revenue Service are, in fact, the political Gestapo for the Illuminati in the United States of America. The end result of all of this will be the destruction of the sovereignty, Constitution of the United States of America, and the formation of a world totalitarian socialist government. All those in and out of government who support the policy of one world government are knowingly and willingly engaged in high treason. Regardless of what you have ever been led to believe, listen to me carefully. Senator Joseph McCarthy was absolutely correct, and in fact, the recent opening of the files of the KGB proved that he even knew the exact number of communist agents who had infiltrated our government. The revelations of history, the records of the KGB, and the recent release of the National Security Agency's deciphered cables to and from Moscow by the Venona Project have vindicated Senator Joseph McCarthy. He was destroyed by the Marxist-owned and controlled news media and Hollywood. The branding of anyone who dared to expose communists and their goal of the ultimate destruction of the United States of America as McCarthyites ensured the opening of our government to these subversive agents. Infiltration and rapid takeover of our government took place by Marxists and communists over the intervening years, and they are in control today. And listen to this very carefully. Those of you, ladies and gentlemen, who believe so strongly in the Book of Revelation and the King James Version of the Holy Bible and other religious and are superstitious people who believe in prophecies of Nostradamus and many others and think that you really have deciphered all of these things and you know exactly what's going to happen and when, you are being intentionally led into a state called millennium fever, so that you will offer no opposition to the New World Order while you calmly await the workings of the hand of God and the arrival on this earth of whoever your particular Messiah happens to be. And oh, they're going to give you a Messiah. Oh, yes, they are. And we covered that in a previous episode. Your philosophy is you're not going to lift a finger no matter what happens. You're not going to do anything because you believe that it's all being brought about by the hand of God. And that you know this because you have read the inspired prophetic revelation of God. But apparently, and especially if you're a Christian, you don't even read or understand the teachings of the man you purport to follow. Jesus said this, and I'm paraphrasing it, but I'm absolutely accurate, that when you think he is coming, he will not be here. He said he would come like a thief in the night, and even the elect will be fooled. Well, ladies and gentlemen, fools abound. I see books all over the place purporting to be explaining to you what's going to happen in the near future, deciphered from the prophecies of Nostradamus, all telling you what I'm telling you, but telling you that you cannot resist it because it is the fulfilled prophecy, the prophetic revelation of God. Well, it's not. It's being brought about by flesh and blood men who are creating events to make you believe that it is the fulfilled prophetic revelation of God, so that you will be rendered impotent, harmless. You will not lift a finger against what is coming. Nostradamus wrote his quatrains in a code which has never, ever been deciphered by anyone. Never. Understand that. Remember what Jesus said, even the elect will be fooled. That is also repeated in the book of Revelations. Even the elect will be fooled. And I know that most of you think you're the elect, and I can tell you right now, you have definitely been fooled. And there's more, ladies and gentlemen, much, much more, as you will come to realize on your own over the coming months and years, especially if you have listened to these broadcasts beginning Monday and continuing through today. You will be able to recognize things now that you could not recognize before. The news will make more sense to you, and you will begin to understand what's happening in the world and why. You wonder how all this comes about. Well, it's pretty simple, folks. And if you don't believe me, believe the President of the United States of America, President Woodrow Wilson. He said this, quote, "There is a power so organized, so subtle, so complete, so pervasive, that they had better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it," end quote. Woodrow Wilson said that, President of the United States, trying to give us some idea of what is happening. Those of you who think that history is boring, you're going to find the future extremely exciting because you thought history was boring, because those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. History is replete with whispers of secret societies, accounts of elders or priests who guarded the forbidden knowledge of ancient peoples, prominent men meeting in secret who directed the course of civilization are recorded in the writings of all people. Plato spoke of his initiation in the great pyramid at Giza, where he went in and came out a god. Do you understand what I'm telling you? The oldest of these is the Brotherhood of the Snake, also called the Brotherhood of the Dragon, and it still exists under many different names. The Brotherhood of the Snake is devoted to guarding the, quote, secrets of the ages, end quote, and to the recognition of Lucifer as the one and only true God. And of course, that's a metaphor, ladies and gentlemen. If you do not believe in God, Lucifer, or Satan, you must understand that there are great masses of people who do, and who believe in and follow the metaphor which they represent. I don't believe in racism, but millions do, and their beliefs and actions based upon those beliefs will always affect me. Especially me, because I'm married to a Chinese woman, and we are the brunt, the target of racist attacks. We know all about it. And whether I believe in it or not, it still affects me, because somebody else does. So don't dismiss something because you don't believe in it. If somebody else believes in it strongly, especially a lot of people, it's going to affect you, especially if they come in to any power whatsoever. It is clear, ladies and gentlemen, that religion has always played a significant role in the course of these organizations. The secrets of these groups, they say, are thought to be so profound that only a chosen, well-educated few are able to understand and use them. These men use their special knowledge for the benefit of mankind. At least, that is what they claim. But if you follow their machinations throughout the history of the world, you'll find that death and destruction follows their manipulation of the human race. I can find no benefit, only death, destruction, pain, suffering, tears, and poverty. And how can we take their word for anything, since their knowledge and actions are secret? Fortunately, folks, due to people who diligently research and dig, people like me and many others, some of it has become public knowledge. I found it intriguing that in most, if not all, primitive tribal societies, all of the adults are members of secret societies. They are usually separated into male and female groups. The male usually dominates the culture. Surprisingly, This exactly resembles many civilized secret societies. It can only mean that the society is working not against established authority, but for it. In fact, could be said to actually be the established authority. And I'm going to tell you that today, that is absolutely correct. This would tend to cause some to remove the validity of any argument that all secret associations are dedicated to the destruction of properly constituted authority. This can only apply, of course, where the secret society makes up the majority or entirety of any people which it affects, but only a very few fall into this category. It does not apply to us. Secret societies, ladies and gentlemen, in fact, mirror many facets of ordinary life. There is always an exclusivity of membership, with the resultant importance attached to being or becoming a member. Remember high school? Remember the popular clique? This is found in all human endeavors, even those which are not secret, such as football teams or country clubs. This exclusivity of membership is actually, ladies and gentlemen, one of the secret society's most powerful weapons. There is the use of signs, passwords, and other tools. These have always performed valuable functions in man's organizations everywhere. The stated reason, almost always different from the real reason for the society's existence, is important. It can be anything, but is usually fraternal and is found in all pressure groups wherever people congregate. Members of the clique or the brotherhood receive special favor. They receive contracts when others do not. They win legal battles in courts of law, sometimes apparently for no lawful reason. The comradeship is especially important. Sharing hardships or secrets has always been a special thrill to man. It's why gossip spreads throughout a neighborhood or a community so quickly. No one who has ever undergone the rigors of a military boot camp is ever likely to forget the special feeling of belonging and comradeship that was shared between the victims of the drill sergeant or company commander. It is an emotion born of initiation. The most potent tool of any secret society is the ritual and myth surrounding initiation. It is also a teaching tool, but only for those who can decipher the specific meaning of the symbols involved in the rituals. These special binding ceremonies have very deep meaning and cause a long-lasting bond between the participants. Initiation performs several functions which make up the heart and soul of any true secret society. Like a military boot camp, the initiation into the armed forces, important aspects of human thought that are universally compelling are merged to train and maintain the efforts of a group of people to operate in a certain specific direction. Initiation bonds the members together in mysticism. Neophytes gain knowledge of a secret, giving them special status, they think. The ancient meaning of neophyte is planted anew or reborn. A higher initiation is in reality a promotion, inspiring loyalty and the desire to move up to the next rung. The goals of the society are reinforced, causing the initiated to act toward those goals in everyday life. That, ladies and gentlemen, that brings about a change in the political and social action of the member. The change is always in the best interest of the goals of the leaders of the secret society. These leaders are known as adepts, or priests. This can best be illustrated by the soldier who is trained to follow orders without thinking. The result is often the wounding or death of the soldier for the realization of the commander's goal, which may or may not be good for the overall community, and certainly was not any good for the soldier. Initiation, ladies and gentlemen, is a means of rewarding ambitious men who can be trusted. You will notice that the higher the degree of initiation, the fewer the members who possess the degree. This is not because the other members are not ambitious, but because a process of very careful selection is being conducted. A point is reached where no effort is good enough without a pull-up by the higher members. Most members never proceed beyond this point and never ever learn the real secret purpose of the group. The frozen member from that point on serves only as a part of the political power base, as indeed he has always done. You may have guessed by now that initiation is a way to determine who can and cannot be trusted, who can understand the symbolic education given to them, and who wants to be a part of the goals of the order. The mystery is that religion is but a tool to control the masses. Knowledge, or wisdom, is their only God, through which they believe man himself will become God. If they believe that and they profess to be a Christian, or to believe in Jesus, or in the God of the Bible, the Christian Bible, they are unbelievably arrogant in making this statement. They're also in complete and total rebellion to God. For what did God say? He said, there is no other God but this God. You'd better read your Bible if you're a Christian and you believe that someday you're going to become a God. If you're a member of these secret societies and you profess to be a Christian, you cannot be both, because one is a lie and the other is the truth. No part, ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that there is a God, you must believe that if there was nothing in the beginning, and God created everything that there is, the only thing that there was to create everything with was God. So therefore, each individual human being must have, and as Jesus said on more than one occasion, a part of that divine substance within. That has to be the case if you believe that in the beginning there was nothing except God, and He created everything from what there was, which is Himself. But understand this, no part can ever be equal to or greater than the whole. No small portion can ever stand up to be equal to or to be God. Understand that. And I don't care who you are, if you really believe that you're going to become God as man, according to the philosophy, the Luciferian philosophy of the mystery schools, you have deluded yourself, you have been deluded, and someday you're going to understand just exactly how much you've been deluded. Shirley MacLaine ran along the beach shouting into the wind, "I am God." Ladies and gentlemen, Shirley MacLaine gets up in the morning just like every other woman on this earth. She looks in the mirror and she says, another wrinkle, oh no! And she cakes her face with makeup to hide it all because she's getting older. She cannot create a universe, never will create a universe. She's going to grow old and she's going to die. In the meantime, she has to pay her rent and her bills, and she has to make enough money to make sure that she can. She has to get along with her neighbors and with society as a whole. She may have fooled herself, or somebody else may have fooled her. But I have not been fooled. Shirley MacLaine is not God. And neither are you, and neither am I. And not a single person listening to this broadcast or out of earshot of this broadcast, not one human being is ever going to be God. Period. End of subject. It is the height of insolence and arrogance to even consider that such a thing could happen. The snake and the dragon, both the symbols of these societies, are ancient symbols of wisdom. Lucifer is nothing but the personification of the symbol, the metaphor, so to speak. In the Bible, it was Lucifer who tempted Eve to entice Adam to eat of the tree, or the fruit of the tree of knowledge, and thus free man from the bonds of ignorance according to their belief. Now remember, the worship, which is a lot different from study of knowledge, science, or technology, is Satanism in its purest form. And its god is Lucifer. Its secret symbol is the all-seeing eye in the pyramid. Ladies and gentlemen, undesirable effects of secret societies and their aura of mystery has sometimes given them the reputation for being abnormal associations, or at the very least, strange groups of people. But whatever their beliefs are, those of the majority, they are no longer considered antisocial. A good example is the Christian Church, which was at one time a secret society persecuted by the government of Rome under the Roman Empire. In fact, the open, friendly, secret society actually ruled most, if not all, of the known world at one time after that. Most secret societies are generally considered to be antisocial. They are believed to contain elements that are not liked or are outright harmful to the community in general. At least that used to be the case. And it is exactly the case in some instances. For instance, communism and fascism are secret societies in many countries where they are prohibited by law. The Nazi Party in Germany sprang out of the Tool Society, which is a secret society created by the old Teutonic Knights who escaped the persecution as members of the Knights Templar. How many of you knew that? How many of you knew that the Nazi Party sprang out of the Tool Society, that Adolf Hitler was a member and follower of the occult tradition of the mysteries? In this country, the Nazi Party and the Ku Klux Klan are secret societies due mostly to the fact that the general public is disgusted by them. Their activities are sometimes illegal, thus the secrecy of their membership. The early Christians were a secret society because Roman authorities considered them from the start to be dangerous to imperial rule. The same was true of the followers of Islam. At least some of these true believers, working in secret, accomplished what would turn out to be the eventual good of society. The Druzid and Yazidis in Syria and Iraq consider the Arabs a dangerous secret society dedicated to the takeover of the world. The Arabs today think the same of the Jews. Catholics and Freemasons used to have precisely the same ideas about each other. And in many primitive or backward societies, initiation into the highest degrees of the group involved subjection to trials which not infrequently resulted in death or insanity for the candidate. It can be seen, ladies and gentlemen, that social right and wrong is not the yardstick in estimating the value of a secret society. In Borneo, initiates of hunting societies consider it meritorious and compulsory to hunt heads. In Polynesia, infanticide and debauch were considered essential for initiation into their societies, where the tribal code needed members who indulged in these things as pillars of society. Now, since the beginning of recorded history, Governmental bodies of every nation have been involved with maintaining the status quo to defend the establishment against minority groups that sought to function as states within states or to oust the constituted authority and take over in its place. A good many of these attempts have succeeded, but have not always lasted. Man's desire to be one of the elect is something that no power on earth has been able to lessen, let alone destroy. People will go to the most unbelievable lengths in order to do something that they know is wrong if they believe that their friends and neighbors and relatives will approve of it. It is one of the secrets of secret societies. It's what gives them a political base and lots of clout. Members often vote the same and give each other preference in daily business, legal, and social activities. It is the deepest desire of many to be able to say, I belong to the elect. I am God. I wield power in this community. The most important of all of these ancient groups is the Brotherhood of the Snake or Dragon, and was simply known as the Mysteries. The snake and dragon are symbols that represent wisdom. The father of wisdom is Lucifer, also called the Light Bearer. The focus of worship for the Mysteries was Osiris, another name of Lucifer. Osiris was the name of a bright star that the ancients believed had been cast down onto the earth. The literal meaning of Lucifer is bringer of light, or the morning star. After Osiris was gone from the sky, the ancients saw the sun as the representation of Osiris, or more correctly, Lucifer. Osiris was represented by the sun. That's a quote from Albert Pike. Isaiah 14, verse 12, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Fred Giddings, Symbolism and Occult Art, said, It is claimed that after Lucifer fell from heaven, he brought with him the power of thinking as a gift for mankind. Most of the greatest minds that ever lived were initiated into the Society of Mysteries by secret and dangerous rites, some of which were very cruel. Some of the most famous were known as Osiris, Isis, Sabazius, Sibyl, and Eleusis. Plato was one of these initiates, and he describes some of the mysteries in his writings. Plato's initiation encompassed 3 days of entombment in the Great Pyramid. None of the Great Pyramids were ever tombs, ladies and gentlemen. They were always, from the beginning, temples of initiation. Plato's initiation encompassed 3 days of entombment in the Great Pyramid, during which time he died symbolically, was reborn, and was given secrets that he was to preserve. For the 3 days he lay in the sarcophagus, and that's the true purpose. Plato's writings are full of information on the mysteries. Manly P. Hall stated in his book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, that, quote, The illumined of antiquity entered its pyramid of Giza portals as men. They came forth as gods, end quote. I say they came forth as men, deluded to believe that they were gods. The ancient Egyptian word for pyramid was Kuti, which meant glorious light. Mr. Hall says also, quote, the pyramids of ancient, the great Egyptian temples of initiation, end quote. The first secret, ladies and gentlemen, that one must know to even begin to understand the mysteries is that their members believe that there are but few truly mature minds in the world. They believe that those minds belong exclusively to them. And so, they believe that all of the rest of us are nothing but stupid animals. To be shepherded, to be sheared, and if necessary and when necessary, to be led to the slaughter. I hope that these last 3 hours have caused you to become illumined. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless each and every single one of you.
So there you have it, my friends. Your first sit-down with William Cooper, the author of Behold the Pale Horse. Now, I chose that one. It was the last of three because he got into the Cold War and Russia, NATO, the UN, and basically lays it out on the line for you that the Cold War was a farce to gain more taxation and power over the citizens of Russia and the U.S. So it begs you to wonder what exactly is going on in Ukraine. Now, that to reflect from the start of the episode when we started talking about people that are going there and basically not seeing what is being reported. There's also I'm sure a lot of you by now have seen there's a guy that went over, I believe, for the U.S. To fight for Ukraine and is finding out the hard way that it is not what it appears. Actually, you know what? We'll ring that clip up and I'll play it for you. It is nothing like the media is portraying. That's for damn sure.
So for any of you who are wondering what is going on, all right? We were part of the Georgia National Legion, the 102nd Ukrainian Territorial Defense. Okay? Our base got fucked up. The base right next to us got fucked up. Americans, British, tons of British dead. All right? They're not saying nothing. They're counting our dead as their dead. They're trying to send us to Kiev with no fucking weapons, no kit, no fucking plates. The people who are lucky enough to get weapons are only getting magazines with like 10 fucking rounds, okay? When they wanted to send us to Kiev, we said no. Our whole group, a bunch of Americans, Canadians, British. So they told us we had to get the fuck out or they were gonna shoot us in the back, all right? So me, this British guy, and another American, we fucking hid in the back of an ambulance to get out. We got to the border and it was a whole nother mess. When you get to the border, anyone who has kit, anyone who has any military shit, they're fucking pulling you out of the line and they're sending you back to the front. We got dropped off about 5 clicks from the fucking, from the border and we walked. And we get to the border in this humanitarian group with a bunch of ex-SF veterans from England, pull us to the side and say, you need to get, like, pulled us out and fucking, like, hit us. And they were like, you need to dump all your kit. They're pulling people out, cutting up passports, sending them back. So we dumped our shit. We got, like, in all of our fucking, we got in, like, Red Cross vests and they had, like, fucking humanitarian passes to get us through the Ukrainian border. People need to stop coming here. It's a trap, and they're not letting you fucking leave. The best way to leave is like in a Vic or a car or something. People who get on by vehicle have a better chance of hiding their fucking kit in the back, doing whatever the fuck they can, but do not try to leave Ukraine on foot if you're a volunteer. It's a mess, and it's a trap, and I have multiple people who can confirm this story for me. I'm getting...
So there's a little bit more from the ground of Ukraine. He basically lets you know that they're counting our dead as their dead. Now, a person has to assume that they're counting the Ukrainian side as Russian deaths, which wouldn't surprise any of us. But I guess what I'm getting at here is that, you know, he's saying it's a farce, it's a trap. It almost appears, and those of you that are listening to the show religiously know that I'm on the fence about Putin. And when you listen to someone like Bill Cooper talking about how the Russia and the U.S. has worked together before to create more control over their citizens in each country, it's starting to make me wonder if Putin isn't just playing a role and this entire thing is to bring about the digital IDs globally. you know, distract with war or a so-called war. There obviously is conflict because you've got people on the ground telling you there is. People that aren't being interviewed by the Marxist media, as William Cooper called them way back. You know, so that was in 98. But anyway, to kind of round out this thought, it just would appear to all of us rational, skeptical, thinking human beings watching this whole unfold that this is just part of the plan to bring about the digital, social, tyrannical one-world government, if you really want my honest-to-God opinion. Now, for those of you that don't know William Cooper's history, because he was such an effective whistleblower, the FBI sent two agents basically to assassinate him. And what ended up happening was Bill Cooper had a shootout with these two FBI agents in his driveway, and they did kill him, but he got both of them. Now, both of them, I'm not sure if they survived or not, but I do know that he did end up returning fire, and he hit both of them before they killed him. So he paid the ultimate price to get the truth out to everybody. And when you look at it, at the dedication in those terms, the information that he shares is unbelievable. We'll revisit the other two episodes. The first one's really good. The second one, he goes into the space program, basically that it's all a complete fake. That one's, you know, you can either take it or leave it. That's another hot topic, but the timing isn't right, right? We'll get into that when maybe things cool down a little bit, which I don't think they will until we see the globalists pull off their masks of being humanitarians and show us their true fascist nature. But anyway, to get back to that, he talks all about the moon landings, all the basically the Masonic symbols and everything that it's he gets into the physics of space travel, how it's impossible for human beings to even get through the Van Allen radiation belt, that kind of so on and so forth. In the first one, he breaks down a lot more of the secret society stuff, who's all involved. Like you heard in this one, he talks about how they compromise government officials, and if they can't compromise them at all, then they get rid of them. They'll just make shit up, you know. How many times have we seen politicians accused of, you know, having kiddie porn on their stuff, and that was actually an operation of the globalists? Maybe someone wouldn't play ball, and then boom, they've got kiddie porn all over their computer and phone, and that's it. They're out. It's something else. And then you know, for him to reflect back all the way back to Plato tells you how far and how long and how deep these people have been in control for how long. Thousands of years, my friends. Thousands of years. So every part of this plan has been thought out thoroughly since the beginning of our modern civilization. So, and you can bet your bottom dollar, when he got talking about anthrax and all that stuff, that if this starts going south for them, it will just be another pandemic. And then this time, it'll be one that actually probably has a 30 to 50% fatality rate. It'll be a real pandemic. You know, if they're playing around with anthrax and smallpox, you know damn well those 26 biolabs, 13 of which Putin got rid of, but all 26 of them were functioning in Ukraine. You know damn well that COVID, they weren't just playing with a pretty much a benign virus like COVID. They're actually fucking around with actual real pandemic level viruses. So, you know, the one thing that keeps me always in the norm when thinking about this kind of stuff is just old quotes like relax. Nothing is in control. That one always made me laugh. Or chill out, you were dead before you got here. You know, so just simple things like that that just can kind of, because you can overthink all this stuff and drive yourself absolutely nuts. But in reality, we're all just ghosts driving meat-coated skeletons made from stardust. What really do we have to be afraid of, my friends? Death? to circle back, you were dead before you got here. Whoop-de-doo. So that's why you can call these globalists fucking psychopathic, sociopathic weirdos and not even have any fear. They're fucking losers, you know? They just basically manipulated society to put themselves in control, and now they think they're gods. And they're manipulating DNA in unknowing people to fulfill that purpose. It's crazy. It's crazy. But anyway, this show is going on way too long, so let's round this one out. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you can find me on Facebook at Canadian Patriot Radio. Use the message button. It comes directly to me. If you prefer email, it's CanadianPatriotRadio@gmail.com. Feel free to join the ongoing chat on Telegram. That one is t.me/CPR_2. And if you prefer websites, it is CanadianPatriotRadio.ca. Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode, my friends. And until next time, in all thy sons, command.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Canadian Patriot Radio. CPR is not filmed before a live studio audience. If you like the show, friends, make sure you give us a thumbs up and share us on all your social media platforms. Until next time, take care. You know what?